Season 4, Episode 2, Thick Stew. We open up on a weigh-in of Medavoy and Sipowicz. They're doing a weight loss contest between the two of them in this season. And Medavoy comes in at 196.5, and Sipowicz comes into 221. And Medavoy tries to, I don't know what the proper word is, throw some humorous barb at him. And Sipowicz says, "I'm 3 inches taller, minimum."
He says something about his weight or something.
Because I think the way he says 221 is supposed to be kind of judgmental. And then Sipowicz is like, "I'm 3 inches taller, minimum, Medavoy." Stu Morrissey, it comes into the bathroom a little pissed off, a little edgy, because he's dealing with a case that he's losing sleep over. And
oh man, they fucking hammer home the... Or Stu, hey Stu, you got any sleep? Hey Stu, when's the last time you slept?
Hey,
Stu, sleep.
He's dead on his feet. He's not sleeping.
Sleep. It's like, god damn, we get it. Stu needs sleep.
And then as the opening is ending, Medavoy makes the comment that he did not relieve himself by shitting or pissing before the weigh-in, so that's going to play to his advantage.
Yeah, he's something, he like yells it. He's like such a weirdo.
Yeah, Medavoy is just too... He's got too much energy for the room. Especially right now.
Oh yeah, 100%.
He's always like bouncing off the walls and everyone else is like, okay, Medavoy. And that was the end of the opening, and this is NYPD Blue Balls, where I, Kirk, and the other voice, Kyle, go through every episode of the best show ever, NYPD Blue. And this is the theme song to NYPD Blue. Anyway, when we come back, Sipowicz is putting on his shirt, and Jerry, the new, was it PAA? The new,
yeah.
She's fixing his collar. And Sipowicz is unnerved.
Oh, she starts fixing it.
Yeah, she's fixing something. And Martinez is passing out mugs because he's running for union delegate.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of back and forth there because he's handing out mugs and Sipowicz is like, "I got a mug." And Martinez is like, "No problem, you can have two mugs." And he's like, "Well, this one's working fine. I've had it for 7 years."
Yeah, it's very weird. Andy's very weird.
To talk about the union delegate thing, which was kind of interesting, because it's a runner through this episode and the next, Martinez is campaigning to be the new one over Vince Catelli.
Yeah, Vince Catelli. I can't believe he was a union delegate.
Just because of his character? Like, who?
Yeah, like, just because of the way he acts and everything. I'm trying to think of what it... So there's a scene where he has to act like a delegate. I'm trying to remember it, but...
Well, there's the scene when Andy Jr. dies. No spoiler, because we've already passed it.
And he has to act like a delegate, but he kind of knows his shit.
He's on top of it. He's clearly done it for quite a while. Because you could tell in that scene... I mean, not to overanalyze a scene from earlier episode, but if you remember that scene, basically Andy doesn't even want to talk about the emotional side of it at all. He's completely closed off.
Yeah.
And Vince doesn't pick up on that side of it. He just knows all the answers. So when they sit down, when they go to the coffee room, Sipowicz is just standing there, and then Vince runs down all the info. Sipowicz rattles off some questions. Vince answers them immediately. And then every time Vince tries to go like, "Oh, it's a terrible thing burying your children," he's like, "Yeah, what about this? He wants to do this. We want to do this. All the benefits go to his mother." And that's it. Vince has all the answers, but Sipowicz doesn't really care about the emotional side, and then he hugs Sipowicz and then walks out. He's on top of his shit.
Vince enjoyed being a delegate more than a cop, I think, at this point in his life.
Yeah, because he works night duty. He's on night watch.
Yeah.
And he's always kind of portrayed as like a bumbling kind of buffoon. Like, he doesn't really do much. In terms of...
He is old school and thinking like Andy, but he's a bumbling idiot. Whereas Andy is like racist, sexist, but he's like smart, can put sentences together, even though he's not the smartest person. But like Vince Catelli is sexist, racist, misogynist, but he's just like a bumbling fool.
Sipwitz can put two and two together, and Vince cannot. Vince can only operate on what's in front of him.
Anyways, we spent a lot of time on Vince Catelli.
Well, actually, because we can go through that side of the story. Vince comes in to campaign by bringing cannolis, which
he brings every year.
His homemade cannolis.
Homemade, baby.
And Medavoy is on Martinez's wiener so much. He's like, oh, so this wouldn't have anything to do with the vote that we're having tomorrow, would it, Vince? And Vince is like, I bring my homemade cannolis in all the time, Medavoy. And
this is not, like, it's not a shock. Medavoy, like, just from watching Medavoy's relationship with Donna, like you could tell this is how he was going to act as a friend. Like, he's that friend.
He's that friend that's going over the top.
He doesn't have a love in his life right now, so all of his focus is on James.
And Vince, he brings the cannolis. Martinez says something like, oh, cannolis, that's his entire re-election platform. And Sipwitz goes, what I love, Sipwitz, he's like, don't do negative campaigning, Martinez.
Yeah.
There's a moment, there were moments when no one's around except for Simone and Sipwitz, and Sipwitz is like, I'm a fool for supporting that guy. It's like, then why are you supporting him?
Yeah, then stop, yeah.
It's
I don't get it.
I mean, I don't want to equate it with current events, because that's not what the show's about, but the idea of, well, that's whom I'm supporting, so I support him, is not... It's not acceptable at this juncture in important decisions such as union delegate. And I will leave it at that.
It's not okay.
It's not okay to be like, well, that's who I support, even though he's a bumbling buffoon. It's not what you want to do. Then later, because we're still on Vince, I'll just get Vince completely out of the way. In the story, Vince brings in a guy on this case that Sipowicz, Simone, and Stu will be dealing with. And when they talk to Vince, he's like, look, man, I brought this guy in, and I beat his balls off. And Sipowicz goes, hey, Vince, have you thought that maybe it's not the right guy?
Yeah.
Like, he didn't call Stu because everyone, like you said earlier this episode, Stu is, like, dead on his feet. Everyone's saying he's way too tired. But Stu was told, hey, this is, or not Stu, Vince was told, this is the guy, he went to go get him, and now he's trying to beat a confession out of him, and he never thinks for one second, like, oh, he may not be the guy. And that's where he's just a bumbling buffoon.
Yeah, it's crazy, it's like, yeah, like, it never crossed his mind.
That it could be the wrong person.
Until just kept beating him, like, all those hits to the face, it never was like, hey, maybe I'm wrong.
And then Sipowicz, like, just that moment where Sipowicz is like, gee, do you think maybe it's the wrong person? And it just...
I love when it's Sipowicz trying to, like... I love when it's Sipowicz giving people, like, dumb moments.
Oh, man, it was good. And on the campaign front, because this is one scene that's, like... It's only there to remind us that Martinez is into the girl that's upstairs.
Oh, fuck it, yeah.
There's a scene where James and Gina meet on the stairwell. And Gina is the new PA upstairs. And... He's like, hey, she's like, hey, did you leave this mug on my desk? He's like, yeah. He's like, I didn't know you were in an election. He's like, yeah, it's for union delegate. The guy has seniority. And she goes, he can't be as good a guy as you. It's like, from what we know, you've only talked to him on the stairwell occasionally. You don't know this man. And you don't know the other guy at all. So for you to make such a statement only is so outrageous. But it's also like, clearly you just want to... Bone Martinez. You want to see the flying Martinez.
Yeah, you do.
Because why would you say such a thing? You don't know either of these two gentlemen. You didn't even know there was an election. And you're already like, can't be as good a guy as you.
He's just really awkward.
It's
talking to her. It's kind of weird.
Because it's clear, because if you watch the show, or you watch television shows like this, they're clearly just setting up that they're going to be together at some point. They're having Jim and Pam moments, but it's not important to the story yet. So they just gotta leave these breadcrumbs. The main case that we're dealing with, it starts because Stu asks for Andy and Bobby's help. He's dealing with a missing kid who the father claims the baby was snatched from a baby carriage when he was at a phone booth by a pizzeria. And Stu doesn't know if he should go harder at the father or what leads, like, he should run down because the story is flimsy.
Yeah, but he doesn't have enough, and he can't tie it together.
And,
like, it's a very shaky story, but he can't tie it together.
Because he doesn't know exactly what to ask him to produce answers that will help. Because the guy's story is so just, I took the baby out, and then I had to call my mom, I went into the phone booth, I came out, the baby was gone. And in the interrogation, at least the first one, Simone and Andy are asking the guy questions, and they're not asking to get the information, they're asking to see how the guy answers, which is kind of interrogation 101. A person, when you interrogate someone or interview someone, it's not the information they give you that's part of it, it's how they answer, because they could be lying.
Oh, did you take an interrogation class in college?
No, it's from watching this show and from seeing like documentaries with interrogations. Because a person could be straight out lying to you, but if they answer in a certain way, you can tell, okay, that's something we need to come back and look at, or that's something we need to investigate. But this guy, they're trying to not make it seem like they're onto him for doing something in the event he did do something. But it's hard to do because this Stu guy is just answering the questions for him, which was not the point of talking to him again.
Yeah, and they were getting annoyed by that.
Especially when, at one point, Simone was just like, let him answer, Stu. And, like, moves forward and kind of shuts him out of the conversation, the blocking of the room. After that first interview, they tell Stu to go sleep. Because they're like, hey, when's the last time you got some sleep, Stu?
Yeah.
And he's like, I'll bring in the wife. He's like, how about you go get some sleep? They bring in the wife. That doesn't seem to be going anywhere either. She's saying that everything's fine at home. He's not abusive. There's no reason to believe anybody would take the baby.
So yeah, she's very defensive of him, and she doesn't really back down from that either.
She's also very emotional. Like, she gets very, like, why can't you just find my baby? What the hell? Why are you asking me these questions again? So they got nothing, really. When they bring it to Fancy, there's a very interesting scene, because after they got nothing, they bring it to Fancy with Stu, and it's Stu's case, but it's also Simone and Sipowicz are helping him. And he runs it down, and Fancy is like, well, why don't you see where they lived before? Why don't you check out other neighbors or past neighbors? And Stu's like, oh, that sounds like a good idea, I'll do that. And he's like, okay. And then he's like, I'm gonna go sleep for about 40 minutes, and then when I get a full head of steam, and and Fancy's like, okay. Go.
Yeah.
And then after he leaves the room, he tells both of them, he's like, hey, stay on it. And there's kind of like this weird respect about cases, because they're like, yeah, but it's Stu's case. And Fancy said, Stu's a big boy, and it's the squad's case.
Because he's losing it, Fancy doesn't want to lose the case. Especially because it's the death of a baby, too.
And it's a high-profile one, because I guess those people were already on the news.
Yeah.
Talking about their baby got snatched. The way the story plays out is this is when, after that, and they go home at night. When they come back in, Sipowicz and Simone, they walk in at the same time. Vince had brought in a guy based on a tip from a lady.
Yeah, that's the guy he beat the balls off of.
And Vince says, I got this information from a lady who said she knows who took the kid. And so I brought him in, and I had him up there for hours, and I beat him to shit, and he's still not confessing. And they go, well, is it possible you have the wrong guy? And he's like, no, it seemed open and shut. The lady gave me a name and told him where he is. And they both said, well, maybe it's just a woman that wants this guy to be punished for something, Vince. And he had nothing to do with it. So they go up there. There's a funny Sipowicz moment, because he said, here's his pedigree. And Sipowicz looks at it and says, what's his name? He's like, oh, it's Nene. And he goes, oh, he should be collared just for that.
He should be collared just for that.
They go into the interrogation. They go into the interrogation, and this guy, I looked him up because I thought I had seen him in something. And
yeah.
I haven't. I have no idea where I've seen this dude. But he does a really good interrogation, because he's like, dude, I was at the Knicks game.
Yeah.
He's like, I was not there. I don't know anything about this. I couldn't have done this. This isn't me. And then they get very formidable with him, but nobody hits him. They get very formidable, and then he goes, look, yeah, I used to sell drugs. I'm not going to dispute you on that. And if you want to beat me for being a drug dealer, you can all day. But I'm not going to admit to a kidnapping because I didn't do it and it doesn't even make sense. It's a really fantastic scene because that was a good actor. The two detectives are good actors. And just that moment of like, wow, Vince really fucked up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just really funny how like, but then the funny thing is that he doesn't call Stu in on it.
Oh yeah,
that's the other thing. And then before the thing even happens, Simone and Sipowicz are like, "You haven't called Stu?
You haven't told him?"
Like, it's not like, "Hey, you beat the shit out of this guy for no reason." It's you haven't called Stu. That's their main concern.
Well, this show does this a lot, and it's in this day and age, it wouldn't fly. It's also, I would say, I won't say wrong. It's not cool. Where this show has this thing where if you've committed a crime, you're still a bad person. Even if that crime was years ago.
No, it's not even committed. It's if you are, if someone would even think that you did a crime, you're a bad person.
Because it seems like they at least try with the show, because this guy says, like, I have admitted I am a drug dealer. Like, I have been arrested for it, and I will admit that I am a drug dealer. However, I did not do this kidnapping. So he admits, like, hey, I'm a bad guy. So then the audience is supposed to go, okay, well, it's cool that they beat him. In reality, it's like, no, you can't just bring a dude in, beat the shit out of him, and then when you find out you're wrong, go, well, he's guilty of other shit. Like, that's not really...
Yeah, that's
not really equivalent. Also, the way they put it...
I mean, it kind of is.
Well, the way they put it is, well, he sold dope. It's like, okay, how long ago? What was the circumstance? Also, was it weed? Was it heroin?
I think dope is weed there, Grandpa.
Well, yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, drugs, when they're like, oh, he sold drugs. Like, well, what kind of drugs? Like,
yeah,
I'm not as...
Yeah. I get what you're saying.
Like, was he a pusher? Was he, like, a supplier? So...
Look at you! Look at you with the vocabulary.
I mean, I watch a lot of The Wire. Anyway, the dude was beat for no reason.
Big Lebowski was in this.
Yeah, so they're in the room with the two-way mirror, and then they leave and they tell Vince they leave to go to the main the bullpen, I guess, wherever all the guys are, and they're like, and Sipowicz says, "It looks like you wasted a good beating, Vince."
Yeah.
And it's like, what?
Yeah.
That's your response? It's not like, hey, Vince, you fucked up huge. Yeah. Like, and then it's immediate let's protect Vince mode, which...
Yeah, that's what's crazy. Like,
why?
It's crazy.
And I think it's literally because Andy knows Vince so long, and like, maybe they've worked together for quite a while, and they just don't want to ruin him. But when you think about it, it's like, does he really deserve it? Protection,
yeah,
right,
like,
now?
Like, when you think about it, shouldn't you realize, like, maybe he's a bad cop and he shouldn't be doing it anymore?
Because he fucked up big and, like, beat a dude. Like, it's one thing to fuck up and bring in the wrong guy and keep him overnight for a couple hours. That's one thing. And not call Stu. That's a series of dick moves. That means you're bad at your job. The other one is, okay, not only are you not fit for this job, you can hurt other people.
Well, he did. He hurt someone really bad.
For no reason.
It don't fucking matter.
Sipowicz and Simone are looking at this dude because the woman who filed the complaint came in, and they're like, hey, how about you just confirm this is the guy so we know for sure?
Yeah, like, Andy and Simone got a feeling off of her.
She has an emotional moment in the two-way mirror room, and then they go, well, oh shit, that guy just hooked her sister up on drugs, and she wanted to hurt him. So,
which is crazy that it was what fucking Andy thought it was. I hate when it's that shit.
When Andy knows exactly what happened?
Yeah, like before they even do it. Because, like, when they were talking downstairs, he was like, what if someone had a beef with this person?
Yeah.
And they're just calling it in. And then, like, that's what the thing that happened. It's kind of like, really? Is it that coincidental all the time?
Well, I think I think it might work. I think the only reason it works is because of Andy's experience and because it's such a high-profile case. A person knows, like, hey, I have information on this. It's this guy. Then they know that guy's going to get brought in, and then he might get charged for selling drugs, because once they find that out. The only reason they don't do anything to this guy is because they literally abused him for no reason. So,
yeah.
So Andy runs this sweet game where he pretends, oh, I'm so upset, it's so hot in here. And, like, he's kicking shit around, and he opens the window, and he's like, it's way too fucking hot. And then he sits the dude down, and he's like, oh, the last guy, he only gave you a little tune-up. I'm the guy that gives the real beatings. And then and there's a part in that that makes me, like, really feel bad for this dude. He goes, look, I did some foul things, but I didn't do anything to that girl. And it's kind of like, that guy had the most integrity of the dudes in the room between Vince and him. He was like, look, I'll admit to doing some fucked up shit. I didn't do this. And you can beat me forever. It doesn't change. Yeah. Like, it was insane. And Sipowicz kicks over his chair and just goes like, it's too fucking hot in here. And then he goes and he leaves the room hoping
when
the dude
opens
will...
the window.
Yeah, hoping the dude will jump out the window.
Yeah.
Which he does.
And the funny thing is they watch in the little room.
Yeah, and they're like, just go for the window. Just
like, go for it, go for it. Andy, my favorite part is when Andy comes in, he goes, has he gone yet? Has he jumped?
And Vince and the boys, they come out of that room, and Stu is on the fucking, like, warpath, because he rolls in and goes, what are you doing here, Vince? You bring in a suspect on my case, and I got to find out from the desk sergeant the night after, the day after. And then Vince... He's like, look, man, I'm sorry, I was trying to spare you. I wanted you to get some sleep. And then Stu is like, whatever. Well, is he the guy? And then they explain what happened. And then
I think Andy and Simone say something like, hey, Vince, why don't you calm down and ask him if this guy's even worth it?
And then
they say something, and Vince is like, no, he's the wrong guy. He's not worth it.
And then, and then Vince, who... I remind you, has wrongfully beat a random person all night.
Yeah.
He says, well, I hope this doesn't affect your consideration as union delegate.
Yeah.
And then he goes, I've already voted for Martinez. And then he gets indignant with fucking Stu. He goes, look, I'm trying to let him get some sleep, and this is what I get. And it's like, fuck you, dude. You did a terrible thing all night. Like, you are not a good person. You are not in the right in this situation. You need to just leave. And the fact that Sipowicz and Simone kind of just sit there and are like, wow, what a morning.
it's just like, wow, night crew. there's a reason they're on the night shift.
Also important to note that they run this whole game because Fancy got in late because he had a root canal thing scheduled.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're like, is Fancy in yet? And Jerry's like, no, she's got the root canal. And then they're like, okay, well, we can get him out of here. Which is like, oh my gosh, that's insane. And I just wrote in bold letters, why protect Vince? Like, why would you protect him?
Seniority.
Yeah, and I'm even reading over my notes. He beat him for 4 hours.
Oh, shit. That's crazy.
The main case moves on where Stu gets some information that there is another child welfare case under the woman's maiden name because her first child is living with her grandmother.
Yeah, who has that epiphany?
Stu finds out through child services.
Oh, okay.
Because when Fancy told him to run down every lead... Stu looked into child services from past cases, not current ones. And when Fancy comes in, because he comes in rubbing, like, I don't think he actually had the root canal. I think it was like a consultation. But when he comes in, he says, hey, so we got a witness, says he saw a guy throw a duffel bag into the water and he thinks it might be the father. And then.
Yeah, I remember that.
So they find out about this other child, and they found out that the guy has been spotted throwing a duffel bag in the water. So then we cut to a classic NYPD Blue montage of scuba divers taking a bag out of the water.
And it's all, and it's the classic Andy. You don't get to see what's in the bag, but you get to see Andy's reaction to what's in the bag.
Well, they actually pull the baby out. That actually shocked me this episode.
Oh, that's right.
They pull a baby corpse out of a bag and set it down on a towel, and then Andy, he's doing what I call the warthog face. Yeah. When he's super pissed and he's thinking. And he puts his hand into the bag and he pulls out a weight. Like a barbell weight. And like he looks at it and then looks up at Simone. And then it's kind of like, oh, this fucker's gonna pay. Like it's kind of like the it's like the commercial moment.
This motherfucker.
The next scene, they're in Fancy's office and they're running down what they know for sure. And he's like, so you're gonna go after? They said, what are you gonna do? And he's like, well, we know the husband's involved. He's like, so you're going to go after the mom, the wife first? And he goes, yeah. And then when they step out, Stu kind of is like pacing. And Simone and Sipowicz are like, do you want us to do it? And he's like, I'm going to tell her. And they're like, no, you do not tell her.
Yeah.
He's like, if she's involved with this thing, then you use it. But if she is not involved, you give her the hope to cling on to. And then they go in and they ask about the original kid. Turns out her husband would beat the original kid because it wasn't his. Don't understand that logic.
Yeah, that's weird. That's weird to me.
Because she said he hit her son John, but he would never hurt Cristal because it's his.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sweet. This guy sounds awesome.
He's like, hey, he only hits children that are not his. All right. Yeah. And since 99.99999 of children in the world are not his, we should be concerned regardless. She starts freaking out. It becomes clear that she wasn't involved based on the way she's answering. And then Stu sits down with her and Simone's like, I'm sorry we didn't mention this earlier, but we found her body hours ago.
Yeah, which is weird that they were so... like, why aren't they holding on to it anymore? I don't know, I got confused at that point.
I think once they figured out that she was definitely not involved, then telling her doesn't matter, because...
Or telling her helps get her to be like, maybe it was him.
And there's a moment, there's a pretty sweet moment for her character when she said, oh my god, did I do this by not suspecting him? And they say, we're not 100% sure yet, but we're pretty sure she died before he even filed the report. And then... And then there's a real great interrogation with Stu and Sipowicz, because Simone stays with the wife, and Sipowicz opens the door and then just slams the weight on the table.
Yeah.
And then Stu's like, you use that? And he's like, oh, what, you get that from my apartment? He's like, no. And Sipowicz goes, no. And then Stu's like, don't look at him, look at me. And it was like, it was so good, because... it was obviously this dude, and he, like, folds really quickly. Yeah. And he said he did it to spare her feelings, because she would hate him for, you know, murdering their child. And,
Well, no, did he say she... No, did he do it because he was jealous of how much attention the baby was getting?
Well, that... he said he raised a hand, and it was an accident, but... He mentioned something before that where she's like, she's got a cold coming on, which means more nights of her in the bed with us and her and my wife dealing with that. And it's like, yeah, it's a sick baby.
Yeah, that's something you have to do.
Something you have to take care of, usually.
Yeah, that was a weird case.
The through line of this season is this Henry wait, I can't remember his last name.
Henry Caulfield.
This Henry Caulfield is dealing with Simone because Simone was left a building that was Henry's mother's building, and he assumed he was getting the building, so he's upset that it went to Simone. And Simone talks to him through the episode once because he was just trying to get in touch with him, and the first time he bailed on their appointment, he talks to a woman who lives at the building who says he's kind of a dick. And she has a dog for protection.
Yeah, and she is wet for Simone.
Well, Kyle, she's a woman, and it's NYPD Blue. She comes in contact with Simone, unless it's Jerry. If Simone comes in contact with a woman, she is down to clown.
And he is fucking smooth as shit. As she's leaving, she's like, say bye, Rufus. And he goes, hey, you got a tuck a dog there.
What's his name? Buster. I think Buster's
the favorite. Yeah, she's like, say bye, Buster. And he's like, hey, you got a talking dog there, or something like that.
Well, yeah, because...
he's like, just being smooth as fuck.
Well, it's a...
And it's like, if you acted like this in front of Diane, how would she feel?
Well, he's been getting cold shoulder from Diane. That's another thing that's going on in this episode. Because Diane had refused his proposal.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So they're on cold... They're on some cold times. And when he meets with the girl, she's like, she's trying to hide the fact that she shouldn't have the dog per the building agreement. And he's like, I remember coming to this building. She didn't allow any pets. And she's like, look, I got mugged. And I have it for protection. And he's like, it's fine. I'm not going to do anything about it. And yeah. Then, that's right. And she says, say goodbye, Buzzer. He's like, oh, I got a talking dog there. And then he flashes the smile. And, you know, he's laying this, he's putting in the seeds.
He might as well fucking winked at her.
Like, he's putting the seeds in. He's just gonna water some plants here.
So oh, he wants to lay his seed.
He's you know, he's putting in the groundwork if he wants to continue after Diane, you know, refuses his proposal.
He's hoeing that ground, is yeah. What you're saying?
Yeah, he's hoeing the ground. When he finally talks to Henry the first time, he's just a prick. This guy, his name's Willie Garson. He's been in Sex and the City and a couple other things. He does a great job as Famous Face. He does a great job as being just an insufferable prick. It is unbelievable how good he is at being just an asshole about everything. Where Simone is like, "Look, I'm just trying to make things square with you. You're not going to get fucked out of this deal. There's no money in the building." I'll only make like $500 a month from owning it, and you get to live here rent free.
As long as you want, yeah.
And he's like, "Well, am I gonna have to pay utilities?" And he's like, "No, I'll pay your utilities."
Which is crazy. That's crazy.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Well, Simone is trying to be a nice guy because he feels like, okay, this guy did kind of get screwed. But it's like, really, the guy's an asshole. Like, no one cares. If he's been screwed at all, he's a dick.
Oh, he was the fucking worst.
He says he goes off on this tirade about like, oh fucking, I had to come back when she was sick, and I had to deal with smells you couldn't believe, and then she leaves the building to you. Oh my gosh, back and forth, and then he's like, I'm afraid to walk the streets. I'm afraid I'm gonna get shot through my peephole. And he's like, look, man, if you have a problem, let me take care of it. I'm a
Which
cop.
Which is like the weirdest thing to say.
Then at the end of the episode, Simone and Diane are having a night at home, and they have a fight, which I think, I mean, maybe it's because I'm a dude, but I think Russell is at fault. She says passive-aggressive shit like, I'm walking on eggshells until you decide to treat me like a human again.
I think we're gonna disagree on this, because...
Okay.
Why can't he respect the fact that she wants time?
Time to do what?
To think about it.
Okay, and what do they do until then?
I don't know.
Because that
if he can't be around her, then they can't hang out until she figures it out.
Because that
but if she needs time, he needs to respect that and go the fuck away.
Because here's what happened: he proposed. She said, "Not right now." He started to get distant. And then she's like, so when are you going to start treating me like things were? And he's like, well, things can't be the way that they were, because I asked a pretty big question. I put myself out there pretty far, and then what I got from you was, nope. And so now I have to live with that. It's going to take time for me to process that information.
Yeah, but then she says, no, I never said, no. She basically says, I never said no. I just said not right now. Like, I'm not ready. I have things going on. And then he's like, oh, are those things that we can't deal with? Or, oh, I mean, like, it's like, just respect it and shut up.
I feel like this is us on the opposite ends of the Pam and Jim argument. Because right now, Simone is saying, you are using this as an excuse to not move forward, much like Pam would say. And she's saying, no, I just want everything to be the same until we figure it out. And he's like, what is there to figure out? The stuff with your family was messed up, yes, I understand that. But we've moved past it. We've gotten over
you come
it.
You come to find out what's to figure out.
But,
spoiler alert.
But I say right now, he's basically saying, you're making excuses for why you didn't say yes, and now I have to live with those excuses. That explains my distance. And she's like, well, you're the one being weird. What's the big deal? He's like, it's a pretty big fucking deal to be rejected like that. Anyway, it's not super important, because he gets a call. The girl he was laying seeds with was shot through her peephole, exactly like Henry said was going to happen to him.
Yeah, so, very specific too, yeah.
So he goes down there, and Savino, who we know from helping out Andy with Andy Jr., he's a Brooklyn homicide detective now.
Yeah.
He is running it, and Henry's on the stairs, and Simone physically threatens Henry because he thinks he's involved or knows something because she died the way Henry described earlier.
And he keeps making, like, smart-ass remarks, though, too.
And my favorite part of the scene, well, besides Savino going, hey, how about you give me that information and I decide how we deal with it, because this is my case.
Yeah, like, it's going to fall on him.
And Simone says, well, I talked to this woman yesterday, man. And he's like, yeah, and now it's a dead body that I have to solve. And then Simone goes to look at the body, and Henry goes, I could take care of that dog. I walk to that dog sometimes. And Simone just turns around and goes, you will be busy, Henry! Like, yeah. It was like almost like an angry father, and it was awesome. Oh, man. That was the end of the episode. One thing I wanted to mention that was kind of funny is Simone at one point talks to Sipowicz about the building, and they talk about it, and he's like, yeah, it'll be about $500 a month. And Sipowicz was like, yeah, that's good if you don't have any major maintenance issues. And then Jerry walks by, and he looks at Simone, he's like, do you know that she was fixing my collar? Didn't even ask. Yeah. Didn't even ask, just did it. And Simone gives him a look, and Sipowicz just points at him and goes, don't you start. And it was so funny. It was such a good buddy moment with them. Another thing I forgot to mention, because I didn't know where to place it, Medavoy was an idiot on the Stairmaster and didn't know how it worked.
Yeah.
And Abby, who is played by Paige Turco, or Turco, a famous face from the second and third live-action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies.
That's where she's from.
She played April O'Neil.
That's right. Let's try to place it.
And basically she just tells him how to work it, and then he goes, wow, it looks like I was an idiot, huh? And she goes, yeah, basically, and then leaves. That's the entire scene.
Pretty much.
Other than that, is there anything else you would like to speak on or speak about?
No, I think you got everything.
There's a moment where Andy kind of gives a Stu is doing okay to Fancy, which is, I guess, kind of like his approval. And earlier in the episode, when he asks for their help, he apologizes for Breaking Bad, because if you remember, he was the dude that was beating the wrong man in an earlier episode when there was a guy killing people on first floor windows, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just world building stuff. Anyway, every episode of NYPD Blue Balls is on AsherBrothersPodcast.com, iTunes, Stitcher, where you find a podcast. We're on Twitter at Asher Bros Pod, Instagram Asher Brothers Podcast. Always talking about NYPD Blue and when new episodes are coming out. And that's it. Have a good one.
Yeah, right on.
Thanks again for listening to NYPD Blue Balls. If you have a moment, please rate and review so people can see the show. And if they see the show, they might go see NYPD Blue, and then they might start watching the best show ever, NYPD Blue. It's a simple formula. If you need more NYPD Blue info in your life, you could always check out Gene Kendall's book, An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue. You could also check out the book True Blue, written by the creative consultant and co-creator about the first couple seasons. And right now the schedule is every other Tuesday. We're going through every single episode. Sometimes I'll drop in a special episode by Papa Asher. Sometimes we'll drop in news about the show because there's a pilot coming. So there will be plenty to talk about for NYPD Blue Balls to come.
Anyway, always remember you can check it out, AsherBrothersPodcast.com, iTunes, Stitcher, where you find a podcast, NYPD Blue Balls, about the best show ever, NYPD Blue.